This week, a new and unexpected suspect emerged in the death 2 years ago of Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny. And that suspect is the Ecuadorian dart frog. A joint statement by the UK, Sweden, France, Germany and the Netherlands said that after testing, those governments are confident that Navalny was poisoned by lethal toxin that's found in the poison dart frogs from South America. The testing was reportedly carried out at Porton Down, a British government chemical defence laboratory. And our next guest is one of the few independent researchers who's had access to Porton Down and its records. Dr. Thomas Keegan is a senior lecturer in epidemiology at the University of Lancaster, and he was part of a 3-year research project into what went on at Porton Down. Dr. Keegan, welcome to Sunday Extra.
Hello.
Now, I've got visions, Tom, of you scaling the fence at Porton Down. How on earth did the British government let you in there?
Well, no, we didn't have to scale the fence. We were actually invited in. There was a research study set up, which was conducted at the University of Oxford. And the Ministry of Defence, who ultimately have authority over Porton Down, were involved. And they enabled access to the materials we needed, which meant we had a good relationship with them and had the access we needed.
So it was all above board and legit. What was the purpose of the research that you were undertaking?
The research was to examine whether the volunteers, they actually call themselves veterans of the human testing program at Porton Down, which was conducted over many years, I think from the 30s onwards. And there were a great many people were volunteers or took part in tests between the beginning of the Second World War and up to about 1989, when the data that we had access to stopped. So these people were taking part in tests, sometimes with chemical agents and sometimes with defenses against chemical agents, sometimes with just protective equipment, but they were involved in tests. And there was a concern among the surviving veterans. Some of them believed that their health had been affected because of the tests. And our study, an epidemiological study, was set up to examine whether that was the case.
And what did you find?
We had a group of Porton Down veterans and a comparison group of similar military personnel who hadn't gone to Porton Down. So we were able to see whether the effect was actually to do with Porton Down or not just being in the forces. We found that the overall Porton Down veterans had a 6% higher mortality rate than the non-Porton Down people. But ultimately, we weren't really able to attribute that to anything that happened to Porton Down, because we weren't really able to dismiss these other possible factors like smoking.
But doing that research gave you really unprecedented access to a fascinating and large archive. Could you give us a sense of just how many staff took part in these experiments and what sort of substances were experimented with over the years?
The service personnel who took part over the period that we studied, which was 1941 to 1989, about 20,000 military personnel took part. And they were tested with about 400 different substances. And they included the sort of major, best known as it were, chemical agents, things like nerve agents, sarin, tabin, mustard gas, which is people will probably know widely used in the First World War, and other chemical warfare agents of that type. They were also tested with antidotes or preventative compounds against attack, particularly against the nerve agent attack, when they learned how to produce chemicals that might protect people. And staff, as you mentioned, staff, they were quite lively in the joining in with tests. In our database, there's over 1,000 individual tests with staff members, up to about 100 over that 50-year period. And they were testing themselves with mustard gas. They also were in on the early tests with the first nerve agents when they were discovered in Germany after the Second World War.
You've described the records of experiments that you got to inspect as running from the ordinary through to the bizarre, and sadly, in one isolated case, the lethal. Tom, at the risk of ignoring the ordinary, could you tell us a bit about the bizarre and the lethal?
So I'll start with the bizarre. Obviously, there was a long-running program of testing chemical weapons and antidotes, but they were imaginative in what they thought might be useful. There was a program of testing with LSD in the 1960s, which they think they thought might be a useful way of sending Eastern Bloc soldiers sort of crazy and unable to fight.
And there is an extraordinary video of the results of that experiment, which seemed to show that the troops who were affected, they got a bit of LSD in their water on day two, as far as I could tell, and things fell apart pretty quickly.
That's right. You can watch it on YouTube. There's a video of some Royal Marines who'd been given LSD, and then it was to test for their military effectiveness. And the video shows them, you know, after they've been given the LSD, running around in circles, laughing, seemingly quite incapable of doing anything apart from joking about. So maybe it would have worked. Who knows? They never pursued it beyond those early testings. But the lethal, yes, that's more serious. There was one mortality. One person died as a result of taking part in the tests. He was called Roland Madison, and I think it was 1953. He took part in a nerve agent test and he collapsed after it and died later that day. There was a serious reckoning at Porton Down, and there was a period of internal review. And after that, policies were changed on how much you could give people and to what durations of exposure people could have to nerve agents. And so there was a limit set.
Mind you, from some of the things that you did find, I must admit I was almost a little surprised that there was only one death, because one of your pieces about Porton Down reported the transport of a very lethal agent that was protected only by a bit of cotton wool. Is that right?
That's right. So the historical archive, just to give you a bit of background, was this marvellous, it was a cupboard that we were given with a series of paper books in which the scientists at Porton Down had written the results of all the experiments they did from 1940s, well, from the 30s onwards, but we had them from the 1940s. And they were very detailed and very clear about what quantities of materials were given to the people and who was there, what happened, in great and very, very accurate detail. But they also contained quite a lot of incidental information, like Jones fainted, they might have said, or, you know, Jenkins was sick, which was really gave a lot of really interesting color and flavor to the stories of the people who went there. And some of those stories were very interesting. One of the reports I've got mentions that when the first sample of a new nerve agent was being taken from one building to another, they put in a test tube and stuck some cotton wool on the top and told someone to run across to the new building with it, where they handed it over like that. And there's a famous pharmacologist who was later Sir John Gaddam, who was working there, and he asked a colleague of his, wrote a little story which said that Dr. Ainsworth went to visit John Gaddam, who offered him a liquid in a glass and said, "Have a sip of this." And Dr. Ainsworth said, "Oh, that's interesting. It tastes a little bit like gin." And Dr. Gaddam said, "That's very strange. I can't taste anything. It's diluted Lewisite, and the rats simply won't drink it." Lewisite being a chemical agent from the First World War era, so they were quite robust in their approach to kind of A, health and safety, and B, self-testing.
Yes, indeed. And I think there were, another one of the stories was of an agent that was applied to one of the staff's skin, but then quickly removed when one of the rabbits who'd got the same thing died.
That's right. That's right. They got a terrible shock, and they were in a chamber, and this was one of the early tests with Tapeman, the first nerve agent that they discovered from the Germans. And yeah, they got a terrible surprise. They didn't think that in the very first test with nerve agents, the scientists didn't think it was a nerve. They didn't really know what it was. They thought it was a new type of mustard gas, and it was going to cause blisters, which was what the way they were thinking about it. So they dropped it on the skin of some volunteers, some of whom were staff members, to see whether it would cause a blister. And I mean, it sounds horrible now, but part of the testing was to put a drop in a rabbit's eye to see what would happen too. And they got a terrible shock when the rabbit died, and they had to rush everyone out and wipe it off and try and decontaminate as best they could.
On Sunday Extra, we're speaking with Dr. Thomas Keegan, Senior Lecturer in Epidemiology at the University of Lancaster, who was one of the independent researchers who's had access to the archives of the UK's Chemical Defence Laboratory, Porton Down. And Thomas, that tradition of self-experimentation to some extent seems to have almost continued to this day, because you were offered a bit yourself while you were there, is that right?
Not from anybody working at Porton Down, no. But Porton Down had its own in-house historian who was called Graydon Carter, not the editor of Vanity Fair, Graydon Carter, but another one, very knowledgeable about the history of chemical warfare and weapons and of Porton Down. And he had a kind of collection of paraphernalia in his room, which I used to visit reasonably regularly. And one of his bits of paraphernalia was a box of sniff tests that I think gas wardens in the Second World War had been given as a means of detecting which sort of gas might be being released. I mean, in the event that the gas wasn't used, chemical warfare wasn't used in the Second World War, but there were gas wardens, and I think it was part of their training kit. So he showed it to me, and it had little glass vials with mustard gas and Lewisite or whatever written on them. And he let me have a sniff. It didn't really, I mean, I think it was 50 years old by the time I had a go at it, and it wasn't much smell left in it, but it was quite entertaining.
And look, given the secret nature of the experiments at Porton Down, it's perhaps not surprising that over the years there have been all sorts of conspiracy theories about what's gone on there. So much so that the UK government has an official webpage called The Truth About Porton Down, which has extraordinary sentences like no aliens, either alive or dead, have ever been taken to Porton Down, and that cannabis has never been grown at Porton Down. So, Thomas, I have to ask you, can you confirm those things? Did you sniff any cannabis or see any aliens while you were there?
I certainly didn't sniff any cannabis, and I never saw an alien. I would have, you know, it would have been highly entertaining to have seen an alien, but I didn't. I think the thing is about Porton Down, because it's a very secret place, over the years has developed a slightly sinister reputation. I think a lot of conspiracy theories have grown up around it. And because it's so secret, it is a great repository for people's sort of concerns about the unknown. And it's got a bit of a, so people, you know, if something is very secret, they don't, and you know, you worry about it, Porton Down is the place that it might happen. You know, I will take the statement that no aliens have ever been found or stored at Porton Down at its face value. I think it's obviously highly, highly, highly unlikely. But yes, it's part of its reputation.
Good to know on the alien front. But on the more serious front, you've also written about there has been a whistleblower from Porton Down who's reported safety concerns about its contemporary operation. Is that correct?
Yes, there was an article in a newspaper about people worrying about health and safety at Porton Down. This is newer than my direct experience, but I did write about it, but particularly in the context of the old ways when staff were very keen on testing themselves with materials. And I think we can probably confidently say that kind of lively self-testing is not something that goes on anymore. I mean, Porton Down is a very serious scientific research institution and has highly secure laboratories for testing chemical and biological samples, and any worry about health and safety would be a big concern. I wrote about the historical aspect of it, but I also got in touch with the Porton Down press office to see what they said about that story, and they said they have been making reforms. They said our people, so this is what they said when I asked them, our people remain the bedrock of DSTL, and their dedication has ensured that our performance this year is better than last. Through the largest reforms to defence in more than 50 years, we are strengthening our ability to anticipate and respond to evolving threats, including increasing our safety standard. They're keen to say that they're keeping their standards high. That might sound like a sort of slightly bland corporate statement, but I mean, there is actually a direct concern about safety for both biological, but particularly for chemical weapons. Chemical weapons were used by the Russians to try to kill a Russian ex-spy who lived in Salisbury, which is
on the road from Porton Down, yeah.
So the Skripals, Mr. Skripal and his daughter, Russian agents used a new type of, nerve agent called Novichok to try to kill them. And it was the expertise of Porton Down in recognizing what had happened and advising the health service that helped save their lives. And in fact, because of that attack, six people were poisoned with this Novichok, some accidentally, some deliberately. And out of those six, one person died, and sadly, Dawn Sturgis died. But the other five survived, and that's no doubt attributable to the expertise that Porton Down has developed over time, yeah.
Well, it's been fascinating discussing Porton Down with you today, Thomas, and certainly there seemed to be no ill effects of the mustard gas you whiffed while you were there. So thank you very much for joining us on Sunday Extra.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
That was Dr. Thomas Keegan from the University of Lancaster, who led the 3-year research project into the archives of Porton Down. And you can read about his research and some of the more curious findings along the way in the conversation.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.